This is Congressman John Carter from the 31st Congressional District. This has been a good day in Washington. Today we had former Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans here in town, along with the families of some of our wounded and killed soldiers that were here to state to the world that they support the mission that our soldiers are doing overseas. And they were everywhere. They were in everybody's office. They had a big rally over on the Senate side. It was encouraging. It was exciting to know that people were coming to Washington to be positive about America, to be positive about what a great country we live in. We've had so many people up here being negative about our country, saying we're the worst country on earth. And these are Americans saying these things. But this time it was positive, and it was a good day. It was a real good day. You know, America, when you really nail it down, is a place built on hope. When we fought our Revolutionary War, we had a world where the government controlled our lives. It was called the King of England. We overthrew that government, and we cast that system out. And we created a system where the individual became the government. The individual was the most important. And I believe in my heart that from that dream that our forefathers had, what we gave to the world, the whole world, not just our world, but the whole world, was a one beacon of hope for liberty and freedom for the individual. If we create a system that goes back to where the government controls our life, then that light of hope goes out. And when that light of hope goes out, the world loses hope. And in fact, somebody somewhere will have to create another country like the United States of America to give hope, or quite frankly, it'll be a hopeless world. So it's important that we remember how important the system is that we created in this country. And we're looking at these issues that we address up here in Washington. We need to look at them in terms of what kind of hope does this give for the individual in the United States to have a better life. We've had issues on spending. The spending was a big issue in the last election. And this week, we're probably going to be debating again the issue of earmarks. Earmark reform, and which we on the Republican side of the aisle, we had this debate last year, and we decided that the best thing to do was to have complete transparency and create accountability for all earmarks, whether it be on appropriations bills, which are the spending bills, or on the authorizing bills, which authorizes spending, or on tax bills. Let's lay it all out on the table for the American people to see. You know, everybody remembers the bridge that goes nowhere. And they understand some of these boondoggle earmarks that Congressman Murtha has been putting in some of these things that he's been doing over the years. But the real issue here is, are we going to let sunshine shine on this issue? So far, the Democrats have continued to abuse these earmarks and disregard these transparency reforms. The Republicans are continuing to try to force this issue. Just to give you an example of some of the things that are going on, Charlie Rangel from New York earmarked $2 million for the Charlie Rangel Center for Public Service in the City College of New York. This center says they want to buy a brownstone and use this money to refurnish it to give a nice office to Congressman Rangel. Representative Paul Konjorski of Pennsylvania, he's under fire right now for steering $9.2 million of your tax money to a company that's owned by his family. And according to the local paper here reporting, this group has not only his family, but a whole bunch of his, at least five members of his family are in ownership positions and not managing that company. This group called Pennsylvania Association of Individuals with Disabilities, PAID, that's one of Murtha's boondoggles. Murtha's been basically keeping that organization alive, and it really hasn't been doing anything but working with other companies that Mr. Murtha pays for through earmarks in this part of the world. And in fact, a very credible gentleman, Mr. Senator Max Cleland, a former senator from Georgia, recently resigned from that group because he was concerned about the questionable things that are going on in the way they operate that organization. And finally, we just passed a S-CHIP bill out of the House that has about over $100 million worth of specific hospital earmarks, but they don't name the hospitals. They kind of put a cryptic code in the bill so you can figure it out, but you kind of got to solve the riddle as to which hospital gets the money and which one doesn't get the money. Now, are any of these things considered transparency and accountability? I would say maybe Charlie Rangel's bill is certainly transparent. It's going to Charlie Rangel Center. But it's also just a little, it's just a little bit in your face as far as I'm concerned. But the real issue here is, do we want to lay things on the table, remembering that who runs this country, who runs it, are the people. And who better to police these things up than the people of the United States? Let's let them look at it and figure it out. You know, the same thing, one of the things that people operate on sometimes here in Washington is the old thing that my mother used to say, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. If you yell and shout loud enough and long enough, people just assume that must be what's going on. That's what these folks are that are protesting the war up here do. They don't come in and offer any, you know, testimony that gives some credibility to their position. They just yell and just disrupt. And they've been doing this now for weeks and weeks in Washington. And they've never stepped up and said they have what their solution to the war on terror is, which direction they think we should go. It's just scream and yell, disrupt people, honorable people like General Petraeus. And with that screaming and yelling, they think that they are accomplishing their mission. But the average American is quietly going on about his business, trying to raise his family, make sure that his kids get a decent education, make sure that they get to take a break and maybe take a little vacation sometime. Go to the park, go to the ball game, have the kind of life that Americans love. And that's what they care about. And they want to make sure that we're safe in our homes. And they want the war on terrorism to be safe. And they want ideas. They want solutions for problems, not just criticism. And I think it's key that while we're here in Washington, what we need to do on a bipartisan basis, if at all possible, is put all this politics aside and seek solutions. You know, the really truth is, we're here to solve problems. For 20 years, I was a district judge, and I asked juries to help me solve problems. And I asked those juries to stay long days and nights to work on those problems, and they came up with solutions. When they tried cases to the court, I tried to come up with solutions. Solutions are important. That's what the American people expect. That's what they sent us up here for. We need to stop the rhetoric, stop the shouting, stop the criticizing, stop the personal attacks, and seek solutions. I believe America is a place of hope, and I believe there is hope deep in the hearts of every true American. And with that hope, I have a hope that we can solve the many issues that have to be dealt with up here. I hope you have that hope too. It's nice being with you. Talk to you next time.